Just coming back, you ask a little bit about the issue of arthralgias and so forth. It does raise the question as to whether or not one should be using COX-2 inhibitors for women that develop arthralgias on aromatase inhibitors. Of course, COX-2 are in a very bad state right now with all the MI data showing up for Vioxx in particular. But it's an interesting question because the issue of using aspirin, the aspirin data is suggestive of reduction in breast cancer incidence in populations the order of 20-30%. COX-2 data may be better, may be worse, but the use of either aspirin or COX-2 inhibitor to control musculoskeletal pains and also maybe have an additional beneficial effect on breast cancer is an interesting one, which needs to be kept in mind.
For the non-epidemiologist or non-cardiologist, can you sort of sort out a little bit the Vioxx data, what the trials were and what the magnitude of the effect was?
The key data were data looking at the use of Vioxx at a high dose in individuals who had had large polyps. It was a polyp prevention program. It's well known that if you have a large adenoma in the colon, your risk of developing subsequent adenomas and cancer is substantially increased. And this has been a model for chemo prevention in colorectal cancer because it's a high-risk population with a nice intermediate endpoint. And a lot of agents have been used to try to see what their effect would be on polyps. And based on the early evidence showing clear evidence for NSAIDs to actually reduce colorectal cancer, it was an obvious thing to look at. They used quite a high dose, and the evidence began to appear really some years ago that there was a hint towards increased myocardial infarction in this population. It went rather quiet for a long time. Clearly, somebody was looking at this data, and I think the problem really was is that this data didn't come to light, or certainly people didn't see it until really quite at a late stage. And when they saw it at a late stage, were correct in being quite annoyed and quite concerned that this data came out of the blue, when in fact there were early indications that there was a problem. And the response has been really swift and strong, and I think correct in the sense that this really does need to be looked at very carefully.
What do we know about lower doses?
The evidence on lower doses is there's no evidence for an effect that I've seen thus far. So in fact, I think the most recent statement was that in fact it's being put back on the market now for its original use in terms of pain control at the lower doses, and that it may simply be a high dose effect. It's a shame that this has happened in this way. If we'd have had the data earlier on and been aware of it, I think the whole process might have happened more smoothly without this enormous upsurge in concern and activity, which will sadly probably play over to all drugs. I think any new drug, particularly in prevention now, will be scrutinized even more carefully in terms of late cardiovascular effects. It's likely to delay the approval of many drugs by several months or years, in fact, in terms of waiting for really detailed cardiovascular data to come out.
What do we know about lower doses of COX-2 inhibitors in cardiovascular? Is it just neutral or is it lower?
The data I've seen suggests that there's no effect at the doses which are common for pain relief.
What about low-dose aspirin?
Low-dose aspirin, of course, is not a fashionable drug because it's so cheap that you'll never get a company to support such a trial. But low-dose aspirin, I think, is still an interesting drug for many, many indications. And we've been thinking about what we should be doing for high-risk premenopausal women in terms of prevention. The only thing really available now is tamoxifen, and many women don't want to take tamoxifen. So we were looking at the COX-2 inhibitors and potentially aspirin. The other drug that's interesting are the statins. The statins have got some contradictory but generally encouraging evidence for reduction in a range of cancers, including breast cancers. So the NSAIDs and the statins, I think, are attractive potential options for risk reduction in premenopausal women.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our speakers, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Breast Cancer Update.